Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
There is a point where we are incapable of moving beyond. You see, here's the problem that people have theologically. Theologically, everybody wants to figure God out exactly and perfectly, something that is impossible to do. We can't do it. And where theologies go wrong is in the insistence that we figured it out.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36, in a message titled, The Unsearchable Wisdom of God. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
And so there is that wonder of the church. And these are the things that cause us to just stop and say, Lord, your wisdom is unsearchable. The depth of the riches, the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are your judgments and your ways past finding out? Who has known the mind of the Lord? You know, we try to figure out God. And, you know, even those of us who know him can't do it. I mean, these other, you know, the new atheist or whoever they are, or, you know, they couldn't even begin to figure out God. We know God and we still can't figure it out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has instructed him? Who tells God what to do? We don't, do we? We ask him to do things. And we see that sometimes he does what we ask him and other times he doesn't. He doesn't apologize, say, well, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't take your advice. Let me explain myself. No, he does what he's doing because he's God. He knows what he's doing. And so we've got the wonder of Israel. We've got the wonder of the church. But we've got the wonder of personal salvation. And every person in this room tonight, everybody listening tonight or watching or however this is going out, you know, if you're a Christian tonight, you know your own story. I love testimonies. Man, it's just so powerful when you hear a person's testimony. It does something. It strengthens our faith. And, you know, we could go on and on and on with testimonies. I mean, you look at the scriptures, you've got examples of testimonies in the scripture. You look throughout the history of the church and you've got lots of great stories. But for every one person whose story was written down, there's 1,000 people at least that nobody ever heard of that also had a story. An amazing story of salvation. And every one of those stories would lead to this same kind of thing. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Oh, Lord, you're so good. My wife is amazing at retelling a story. And so yesterday she did an interview on his channel, which she does every Tuesday. And then we went somewhere and she told me the whole story while we drove. And I was so blessed by the personal testimony of this woman that she interviewed yesterday. As she is telling me the story, I'm finding in my own heart, there's just praise for God welling up, just going, Lord, you're so good that you would do that and that you worked in these kinds of ways. And you know, what Paul is saying here, really, Paul hasn't figured everything out. What Paul is really saying is, you know, nobody can figure this out. This is something that God's doing that we don't understand fully or completely. And that's part of the glory of it. That God does things in ways that we would never think of doing them. The story that Cheryl was telling me yesterday, the amazing thing, it was about a particular woman who came to faith in Christ and how she was, you know, not raised in a Christian environment in the least. And she was, you know, had a couple of children, miserable and all of this. And one day, some pastor from a local church knocks on her door and asks her if she wants to know Jesus personally. And she is busy, distracted with the children and all. doesn't even really hear what he says. Come in the house. You can talk to me in a minute. Let me take care of this stuff. So she goes around the house and sorts out everything. Then she comes back. She says, so what did you say? He says, oh, I asked if you wanted to know Jesus Christ personally. Yes, I would like to know Jesus Christ personally. So he leads her in a prayer. But, you know, nothing changes all that drastically in her life. But, you know, she says, okay, yeah, I received Jesus. I'm a Christian now, but there's not a whole lot of change. But then some things start happening, and God begins to work. And she's pregnant, and she goes into the hospital, and there's a situation where she's going to have a child, and they've done some testing, and they find that the child's got a disease, and they're telling her there's no way this child's going to live. You know, that's just what it is. And she's there by herself and she's crying out, God, I gave my life to you. And I told you I would follow you. And what are you treating me like this for? And how come you're not helping me? And why aren't you doing anything in my life? And she said that at that moment, the presence of God filled that room. And she said, the Lord never said, I'm going to heal, I'm not going to heal. He never said a thing. Just his presence filled the room. And she had this amazing peace. And she came out after having had the baby. And the people were looking at her saying, you didn't have a baby. You couldn't have had a baby. You look perfect. You look so peaceful. And she said, well, I am, because I've got the peace of God. God just spoke to me. But it was just the presence of God. And her son had this rare disease. And there happened to be a doctor visiting from Japan that specialized in that disease and was able to take that baby and treat that baby, and the baby was fine, lived, still alive today. But then the story went on about her husband, an alcoholic and just miserable alcoholic, and accepted the Lord two or three times, still an alcoholic, nothing's changing, going to church occasionally, but it's all still the same, and she's frustrated and miserable and crying out to God, and he's kind of just like, well, I don't know what I believe. And then one morning at 5:00 in the morning, he's doing his work as a typesetter. And as he's typesetting, he keeps putting in BC and AD for whatever it was he was doing. BC and AD, BC and AD, BC and AD. All of a sudden it strikes him. Jesus Christ changed history. He invaded into time, and BC and AD brings him to the point of total surrender to the Lord. Gives his life to Jesus, calls the pastor of the church at 5 a.m, says, I'm born. I don't even think he knew the term again. He just said, I'm a born one. I'm born. I got born. Did I tell the story all right? No, okay. See. She could tell it better. There's all kinds of things I'm leaving out. But the point is, it was a great story. It was an amazing story about how God works in people's lives and the things that he does and how he saves people. And we can't figure it out. And we would never, so many times, you know, we wouldn't do it that way, would we? In the end, we just go, wow, I would have never thought to do it that way. I would have never asked God to do it that way.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website, and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
Sometimes when I'm praying, I find myself, like most of us probably, I like to give God directions, instructions, and things. You know, I've got some pretty good ideas, I think. Lord, I think if you did it this way, it'd be great. And yet I catch myself quite often, and I realize, well, Lord, you know, that's... That's my 2 cents, for what it's worth, probably nothing. But I know that you're already in control. You're already doing something. You already know what needs to happen. You're already at work. God's wisdom, his understanding, unsearchable, beyond our finding out who has known the mind of the Lord, who has been his counselor. This is our God. But then think of God and the wonder of his providence. And the story that Lotzi told us last week, that was providence. How God was working in this situation. He couldn't see God working at all. That was his frustration. God wasn't doing anything, he thought. But here's this little girl that is in sin, gets pregnant. She's going to have a baby. And here's this person that just happens to share this information with this person who's going through something that the person knows nothing about. And the thing that just struck me about that whole thing is, I don't know if you caught this in the story, but this was a 3-year ordeal, 3 years of trying and being frustrated and failing and being upset, and the whole thing was resolved in 24 hours. I don't know if you picked that up or not. That was it. It was a one-day turnaround. Woke up in the morning and said, okay, God, I can't do this anymore. 3 years I've been mad, fighting, screaming, yelling, not understanding. I surrender. Turned around that quickly. The providence of God. And these kinds of things, we need to, it's important, like I said, to hear testimonies and to hear these stories because it reminds us of these truths. You know, I want to encourage you to, of course, as the priority, read your Bible, study your Bible. But you know, read biographies of great Christian men and women, biographies of missionaries, people like that. Read that stuff because this is where you see what I'm talking about. This is where you see in people's lives this providential hand of God. It's an amazing thing happening. The more stories we can hear, I think, you know, it builds up my faith. It boosts my faith. I've heard hundreds of testimonies. I've sat behind a desk and listened to so many stories, and I would say that 99% of the time, I just walk away going, Lord, you are amazing. And I always think this, there's no human explanation for that. There's no way that you could have planned that. There's no way you could have predicted it. There's no way you could have arranged for it, humanly speaking. It's just a God deal. That's powerful stuff. That's awesome stuff. And that brings us to the wonder of God's sovereignty. And that's what Paul is declaring here in the 36th verse. The wonder of God's sovereignty. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. That is an amazing verse. It's essentially saying God is in charge. Now, you know, believing people can be divided into two categories in this regard. You can be in the category of those who believe God is in charge or those who doubt God is in charge. If you're in the category of doubting God is in charge, you're going to be unhappy. You're going to be miserable. You're going to be frustrated. Now, I've been there. I'm there occasionally. I forget that God is in charge. I know he's in charge theoretically, but sometimes I forget that. And when I forget that God is in charge, you know what I do? I murmur, I complain, I gripe, I grumble, I get mad, depressed. And you know how I get out of it? I repent and remember, wait, Lord, you're in charge. You are sovereign. I believe that. I have to believe that. If I don't believe it, I'll go crazy. I've got to believe that. We need to believe this. That's what makes all the difference. To know that it's true that of him and through him and to him, for him, through him, to him, are all things. God has not lost control of anything. He's got it all under control. And it might look otherwise to us at times. It will look otherwise to us at times, for sure. No question about it. But this is where faith comes in. This is where faith says, you know, I believe that God is sovereign. I believe that he is in control of these circumstances. Now, this is one of those statements that some people have a hard time with, because it's really a statement of God's absolute sovereignty. And it's important, I think, that we understand that there's only so much that we are able to put together in our brains based upon the revelation that God's given us. And there is a point where we are incapable of moving beyond. You see, here's the problem that people have theologically. Theologically, everybody wants to figure God out exactly and perfectly, something that is impossible to do. We can't do it. And where theologies go wrong is in the insistence that we've figured it out. We've got it down. We understand it all. We know that God, this, and that's where we get into trouble. There has to be a place where we just take a step back and say, you know, I don't know. I don't understand that. It's okay to not know, because you don't know, and you never will know. And if you say you do, you're fooling yourself. So there's nothing the matter with just saying, I don't know. There's nothing the matter with saying, well, you know, I know that verse says that. I don't understand that. I was listening to John Corson the other day, and in classic Corson form, you know, he's going on with this, how, you know, one of these, I can't even remember what the exact thing was, but, you know, how do you figure it out? I think it might have been God's sovereignty, human free will. How do you figure it out? You know, all of a sudden he goes, beats me. Typical John terminology, beats me. Yeah, beats me. I don't know how to figure this stuff out. But you know what? It's okay. We don't have to figure it out. God's got it all figured out. All we need to do is believe that this is true. That for him and through him and to him are all things. That word right there is just telling me, hey, God, he's got it all sorted out. He's taking care of it. He's working out his plan. And when it's all said and done, when history is over, it will have all come out just as God said it would. There won't be anything out of order. There won't be anything missing. The world is full of injustice. It's full of inequity. It's full of sin and corruption and all of those kinds of things. But you know, at the end of the day, nobody is getting away with anything. Nobody. So the things, you know, we might see somebody who's wicked, somebody who's evil, somebody who's plotting and scheming and prospering and doing so. We might see people in the church who are hypocritical, who are smiling and praising the Lord, you know, one moment, and, you know, slandering and lying and cheating and whatever else the other moment. And, you know, not to say that that stuff doesn't need to be dealt with at times. It certainly does. But we have to realize, you know, God sees all that. He knows all of that. And nobody's getting away with anything, because it's all going to be as God determines it to be in the end. He's God. And all things are for him and through him and to him. It's all going to come back around just the way he planned it to be. So what does that do for me? What does that do for you? What does that do for us practically? It gives us the ability to rest. I can't change certain things. Man, I think you would agree with me. You know, the world is spinning out of control, isn't it? Not just the world and the, you know, international geopolitical, you know, politics and war and all that, but, you know, the world right around us. You know, do you ever remember past Christmases where people are shooting each other and fighting and stabbing and beating each other because they want to get a pair of shoes that somebody else got to before them. I mean, you know, the crazy stuff that's going on in our world today. And what is it? It's just an overflow of wickedness. It's an overflow of sin because we've turned our back on what God says life is all about and how life is to be lived. And, you know, these things are getting worse and worse. And then we've got a government that, you know, is supposed to protect people and implement laws and enforce them to prevent these kinds of things from happening, but it doesn't seem like they're too interested in really doing much about that. And all of that stuff can really get to you, can't it? All of that stuff can take its toll. All that stuff can wear on us. But what's the remedy? The remedy is to go back to these truths. You know, Lord, you know. You're in control. We're trusting you. We're believing you. We're counting on you. We're depending on you. And we're knowing that ultimately, Lord, that everything is for you, through you, and to you, and to you be the glory forever. It's all going according to the way God said it would go. And the best thing we can do is just be strengthened in that. Keep strengthening ourselves in these truths. And as I said, stay in the Word and keep meditating on the Scriptures and learn the lessons from history. See what God has done for His people throughout the ages and know that that's the stuff He does for His people still today. The things that were written back then were written for us so that we, through the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. When we read about how God came through, how He delivered, how He blessed, how He did what He did for Israel, for the church in the early days, for the church throughout its history, for individual people, we can just be encouraged and say, Lord, I thank you that that's who you are. I thank you that that's what you're doing. And Lord, I don't know exactly what you're going to do in my situation, but Lord, I know you're going to do something because that's who you are. That's what you do. You're the God who does work on behalf of His people. And so, who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor, or who has first given to Him and it shall be repaid to Him? The Lord knows. He's in charge. Let's rest in that. So, in the end, remember this. Remember, God is sovereign. He's in control. And if you forget, pause, think about the Word of God, think about what's going on in the world today, think about the nation of Israel, think about your testimony, think about the stories you know of other people's lives, think about how God's saved the seemingly unsavable, think about how He's worked amazingly providentially in the lives of people that you couldn't explain this happening apart from Him. And then take it all to heart and say, Lord, I'm going to stand on that. I'm going to rest in that.
Let's take a quick break and join Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl in the studio as they talk about a CD of some great classic hymns produced by the Calvary Creative Worship Team.
The CD is entitled Monuments, and there's a number of great songs on there. I know you really like a few of those.
I do. There's something about the hymns that I just find so deep and so comforting and so uplifting. I have to just throw in a little thing for my son, Char Broderson, and he does Come Ye Sinners, which is such a great song. I remember when he was younger, when we were in England, I had an old hymn album, and I used to play that song. And I'd like to think that maybe in his subconscious, he heard it, and he's singing it again. It's awesome.
Yeah, so that's the Monument CD. It is fantastic, and we would hope that you would get a copy of that and many more songs in Christ Alone, The Mighty Fortress, Be Thou My Vision, My Jesus, I Love Thee, a lot of great stuff with a lot of great artists. So get your copy of Monuments.
Thank you, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for sharing about this month's resource. You can order the Monument CD by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of the CD Monuments, and then click on the Donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the Monument CD, produced by Calvary Creative. We appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.